response, depending upon if inflation gets a little bit more under control, if the Iran deal sticks, price of oil comes down. And while that's not going to overly influence everything 100% for many months, it'll start moving in that direction, no question. And then if inflation can really start decreasing as a result of that, then we get into the scenario where they won't be raising rates. And if it actually kind of comes back down to where it was, at, 2.34, whatever it was, percent, then we'll be in good shape for the Fed to start lowering interest rates again.
I heard this morning the Strait is open for business as far as freighters go, oil tankers. What's the immediate impact on oil markets? I heard something around the area of $75 a barrel this morning. It seems like oil prices, gas prices go up fast, and then they slowly trickle, kind of like taxes, right?
Yeah, there's some truth in that. Yeah, because what it is, it's futures, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they're, people have already bought oil at X price.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why the price doesn't come down as much, is because it's purchased, it's refined, it makes its way to the consumer or wherever it's going, but they've already paid. And so even though the price of oil is coming down, what's been paid for what we're using was already paid for at a price, perhaps an inflated price, which is why prices can suffer with that. Yeah. But boy, the market has just been on a tear. Brushing aside any potential headwinds in a real meaningful way. If we look at the S&P 500, which I tell everybody is, a decent measure of the U.S. stock market as of right now, up 9.5% year to date. So certainly doing pretty well. If we look at the NASDAQ, which is, of course, a more technology-based index, currently at 13.69%, tied in a meaningful way to the artificial intelligence movement. And now SpaceX is going to start entering into these indexes because of its sheer size in volume. And so, again, it's interesting to see how these initial public offerings go, because there's plenty of times where they start off like a bang, like this one has, then it resets a little bit back into reality, or conversely, if they continue to buy and do things, and you can see that continue to be inflated. So, but that was obviously one of the most exciting investment news stories, certainly of the year and certainly ever in some meaningful ways, I think.
Did I hear Elon is now the world's first trillionaire?
No, I'm going to call that known trillionaire, because I say that just
good
because
call.
I don't think we know exactly what the net worths of some of the Middle East sheik money is. Like, I don't know, there might be a couple of trillionaires out in that neck of the woods.
Hey, ask the LIV golfers, right?
So, yeah, really.
Man.
Fat checks.
Yeah.
Certainly a very big boost. An exciting time as far as investing goes. So a lot of people have been rewarded for sticking it out through some volatile times year to date in the U.S. stock market. International markets, we've talked about some before, because we just talk about diversification, we talk about what makes sense to do. Currently, the European index is up about half of the U.S. S&P 500, up about 4.72%. And as I've mentioned on the show in the past, that's predominantly due to the proximity of both the Ukraine and Iran conflicts, and the fact that they are overwhelmingly energy dependent over there, as opposed to the U.S., largest oil producer in the world. We are energy independent and have been for a couple decades. So that has played to our favor in light of what we're seeing happen right now. And part of the reason, so I came in a little late this morning, to the show.
It wasn't bad.
I was expecting more. I hustled. So one of my favorite clients is 94.
Wow.
She drove to the office for her appointment, and was 15 minutes 30. You know, it just took a little bit longer to get through everything with her, but
sure.
I bring that up because one of the most rewarding things for me is helping people get started, but obviously the bulk of what I do for a living right now is helping people take income, preserve, and grow wealth at a later stage in their life. Now, her age is obviously a little bit on the, you know, the about as the far side of that age range as as it goes.
But is she in good health?
But she's in pretty good health.
Yeah.
But it just becomes super important to make sure that she understands things. And then I take the extra step, actually write everything down that I said so she has a reference for herself or her children. Because once somebody does get a little bit older, I actually like including adult children into the picture so that there aren't any mistakes made by the client or confusion by the client. And I say that because it's important that if you're a listener, if you find yourself getting a little older, and you know, oftentimes, if your judgment is not what it used to be, or if you are an adult with a aging parent and you recognize these things, do not wait to put things in place to make sure that you or your parents are not taken advantage of. Don't make mistakes with their finances that are costly, because trust me, it happens all the time. Several times a year, I have to try to help a client who has been taken advantage of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to be as diligent, and my office is trained to be as diligent as we can. You know, somebody asks for money that is not normal. Okay, hey, no problem. It's your money. What is the money for? When do you need it? How did this come about? So we can be good stewards. And sometimes that doesn't even help. I've had clients lie to me about what, you know, I need to help out my kids. And then find out that wasn't true, and what can you do? Well, obviously, putting yourself on checking accounts, savings accounts, on the bank. But the other thing is something that you put in place for life. And a lot of people get confused. They think, "Oh, I got a trust." A trust doesn't help you in itself with assets while you're living. Trust is designed for what happens when you pass away. What you need to have is what's called powers of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And those can be for finance. Those can be for health care. And they can be general, too. But the idea is that somebody doesn't take over running your investment portfolio and your finances. It's that somebody can also make decisions on your behalf. And that's a very difficult thing for some people, to give up that trust and that control. I understand. My father was the worst, but
oh, I can imagine.
He was the worst.
Yeah.
He was a certified financial planner,
sure,
right?
Right.
You know,
right.
But it was a battle. But before I won the battle, he was taken advantage of.
Oh,
seriously.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was devastating, and to the point to where it wasn't. You know, it wasn't a negotiation. It was, listen.
It was a directive.
By all three. I have two brothers, so the three brothers,
We
ganged up on them, and we were like, listen, you know, you are literally getting taken advantage of. It's your money, but let us have another set of eyes so that when we see something that is unusual,
right,
we can kind of find out. And, boy, they are so good at it right now out there. It's nauseating.
It really is. It's something
so
we don't...
Be good stewards of your money and let your children help you, the good ones. And if you're a child, don't let your parents, who you know aren't where they should be mentally for their finances, bully you or keep you out, because you're not just, obviously, you know, they're going to pass away. It's not just selfish to preserve, quote, your money eventually when they're gone. It's actually making sure that that money doesn't go into the hands of thieves and people who are out to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, something we don't really think about, too, is when you're 94, your adult children aren't in their 20s, 30s, or 40s.
Those are their 60s and 70s.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Maybe you got to lean on your grandchildren.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, it's
right.
True, right?
Like, yes,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, it's like, okay, uh-huh. Kids are in their 70s, right?
Right.
So it's like, okay, maybe we need to talk to the grandkids in their 40s.
Right.
Isn't
how about
that something?
How about a little Neil Young?
Love me some Neil Young. Turn it up.
I was going to do 4th of July music and that, and then Rockin' in the Free World came up, and I'm like, oh, I just got to pull out the Neil period, right?
Thank it.
Because I've got a version of Heart of Gold.
Mm.
Oh, that's by somebody else, but I will pull it up.
All right, sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yep. Back with more in a moment. I do have the text line right next to me, 928-727-5566. If you want to send Brian a text, you have a question or a concern about your finances or maybe a tax law or something. Anyway, or 928-854-5687 if you want to call in. This is Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Again, Steve Sundy is going to talk about the Mojave Roadrunners track and field team. They're going to San Diego for a USA track thing.
Oh, cool.
That team from Bullhead. So we'll talk to Steve around a quarter till. Anyway, let's take it to break. I'm Paul LaVoy. Speak Out will continue with Sound Advice with Brian Springberg.
Expressions I never give that keeps me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.
Aren't we all? Right, Brian?
It keeps me searching.
What, getting old?
Can you hear that okay?
What?
What are you, a light bulb? That's what my dad used to say. He said, what? What are you, a light bulb? Oh, I know, right? Dad humor and Father's Day coming up. Be good,
yeah.
Be good to your dad, especially for those of us who don't have our dad anymore. We, have, you know, barbecue a steak for him, right, in his honor.
So, well, you got to do it anyway. It's like, have you ever seen, I love those, like the little memes and commercials and little vignettes on social media that guys will put on. It's like Mother's Day. It's breakfast in bed.
Oh, right.
It's massages. You know, it's, you know, yeah. What can we do for Mom Day? And Dad, and they show Dad sweating, barbecuing, and cooking food for everybody on Father's Day or whatever. But you know what, though? The moms work hard. They actually deserve that.
In the neighborhood,
I'm cool with that. I just think it's funny because that is, because it's actually true. Father's Day, you know, is, you know, like, okay, well, let's have the kids over and I'll cook for them.
The neighborhood I grew up in, Father's Day involved a milk carton. So, just saying. Missing.
No, missing.
Da-da,
oh, my
da-da.
God.
Just
ouch.
Kidding. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and from the mind of Dallas Finch. Love him. Gotta love Dallas, right? Gotta love the hair.
He won't quit. He ain't changing for nobody.
It's Havasu's version of Fabio, right?
Oh, God.
Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Home to the Booby Dropper. Main Street, Havasu. And don't forget to check out our Speak Out archive at kncrtalk.com. Just go to the Speak Out tab right there. So, there you go. Look at that. Ended it.
Good
you
gotta timing.
I love that. Yeah.
Good
especially
timing.
With the.
Hey, I want to, real, before we get into investing and in economic discussion again, I just want to say something that I just absolutely have loved over since the World Cup you know, soccer tournament started. I love it all.
I love the World Cup.
I just love the global feel of it.
Yeah,
and the you know, kind of the brotherhood of man and all the things and all the, you know, them so passionate about their
singing
country.
Singing your national anthem out loud.
I just, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's been so wonderful is that a lot of the people coming from around the world that never been to the United States before and were only aware of what it was like here in America based upon social media, based upon whatever news source they were getting, that kind of thing. And overwhelmingly, it's like this glowing review of how incredible the people are, how beautiful our country is. It's much more wild than obviously a lot of the more condensed parts of the world in terms of population, how wide open it is, and just, you know, just kind of our culture and who we are and different. And of course, it's all over the map and literally in this country. And the thing that I most take away from it is, while obviously a lot of the world has very strong feelings about our president, they are not coming here looking at us as Republicans or Democrats or any, we are literally Americans to them when they come here. And to just, I just took such heart in that, that there was not a political bent or is not a political bent to their impression of our country now that they're here. It's just kind of the people of our country not knowing how they register or how they vote. That's such a cool perspective and a refreshing perspective to have, because of course we are so partisan. You know, here we are in election season, right? And just to kind of see and feel that has just been amazing. So I just, that's one of my favorite parts of what's going on right now.
Well, the bar owners in Boston sure love the Scots.
Pretty dang happy.
That's crazy.
Crazy Scots.
Have you ever heard
crazy
of such
Scots.
A thing? Being, having the city, you know, a dry city because of one, you know, because of the Scots coming in.
Yeah.
The Scottish fans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
And no better fit for the Scots than Boston when
right.
it comes to drinking challenges.
They flew in emergency. See, kegs of beer is what I heard.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
It could be.
Not from Scotland, but
right.
from around the country.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I think that is
that's
true, actually.
That's a lot of bars. I mean, there's a lot of bars in Boston, Brian.
Yeah,
I know that for a fact.
Yeah. So take pride, listeners, that we are so far, they walk into our stadiums. Like, the funniest ones are the ones where they go to, especially in Texas, local high school football stadiums, and they're like, this is a high school stadium
right.
larger than the, you know, fifth largest professional stadium in England, or, you know what I mean? They're just where are we?
Or like
not
a Premier League team, but maybe a third or fourth division. They play on playgrounds practically.
It's nuts,
guys.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's why they kind of look at us in some awe. So there are definitely some eye opening in a very favorable way. Obviously, I think there's been some logistics challenges getting people to and from stadiums in terms of transit. But other than that, everything I've seen has been great. And so I'm just fired up. And go USA tomorrow.
Oh,
we're playing the Aussies, I think.
In Seattle. We are.
At noon.
The Socceroos, they call them.
Yeah, the Socceroos.
And they're better than they used to be, I've heard. So.
I was looking at going into a game. Ticks are spendy, man.
Oh, yeah.
Ticks are spendy,
know.
Man.
It's,
you want...
I know.
Decent tickets.
I'm very disappointed.
I mean, decent tickets.
Yeah.
Easily it's $3,000 to $4,000 for a pair of tickets.
I'm not there.
For decent tickets.
There's no
not
way.
Not great, but decent.
Yeah.
And then if you want center, bottom 10 rows, $30,000 for a pair of tickets.
Sure. Right.
Depending on who's playing, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyways, just amazing.
Well, my three Lions won yesterday, and that was phenomenal. So Harry Kane with 2 goals. For England, that was, man, I had an England banner on my wall when I was growing up. So England
that?
And West Germany. So.
Traitor.
No, I'm a big Team USA fan, but that was when I was a kid. That was who we looked up to. Those were our idols.
We didn't really hardly have any USA soccer.
Not really. Like, I was listening to one of our sports shows this morning. It was talking about Kyle Rote Jr. I'm like, wow, that was really back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, from Texas, if I remember right. So
amazing.
Anyway.
anyway, so
does that have a big impact on the economy right now? I would think it would.
Yeah. So for those cities.
I mean, how many cities are we talking about in the U.S.
that they're playing in? Because they're also playing in Canada and Mexico.
Right.
But predominantly U.S. Stadiums. I don't even know.
I know it's Boston, Atlanta, up in the New England Patriots Stadium. They play in Seattle, L.A.
Dallas.
Right. Houston.
Arkansas.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a lot. And that's the part that's most interesting is that a lot of them are like used to when you come to the U.S. to visit, you're going to New York, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, New Orleans. You know, you're hitting kind of the big city highlights, so to speak. But a lot of them are really experiencing Middle America for the first time. And so it's super funny seeing the Ghanaian team all wearing cowboy hats and, you know. And
so as somebody who's been watching the World Cup since 1978, no joke, Mario Kempes, Argentina, they won it. I'm a little disappointed that they expanded the format. All right. They started with 32 teams. It used to be 32, 16, 8, 4, and then the final, right?
Right.
Now it's 32. Well, now it's 48, and then they go down to 32. Now, because there's certain third place teams in the groups that are going to make it, and it's probably going to be based on goal differential. But it's almost like, man, is there any sport that they haven't touched yet where their, you know, revenue is the bottom line, right? I mean, that's what it's all about, is expanding the games.
Of course. Yeah, they're even joking that there's two water breaks that they don't normally have for soccer games just for television timeout revenue.
Get me started on hydration breaks, really? I mean, you've got football players just laughing when, you know, hydration break. Now the NFL is going to look at that, I guarantee you, right?
They don't have enough timeouts during the game.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, but we digress as usual.
You got about 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, so right now, here's something that I want you to keep in mind. The forward PE ratio, or price to earnings ratio, currently is about 20. And, you know, that's a little bit of a premium above what's happening. In other words, right now the stock market is priced in for a lot of good news. Earnings are going to be great, and yes, it's elevated, but it's not extreme, right? Like, you can't argue it's as extreme as it was in 1999 before the fall of the dot-com bust in 2000, or as extreme as it was in 2007 before the debacle in 2008. You cannot make those arguments. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have a correction. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be some unforeseen things that come into play. But it's not overwhelmingly overpriced. It is just a little bit more expensive than usual as a broad measure in the stock market. And what you should be doing as an investor, of course, is equating your portfolio to your needs, length of time before you need access to those dollars, and making sure that regardless of what kind of pans out, that you're in a position to take care of it. Right now, one of the biggest focuses that we have, and it is, and it I kind of change with some of the things I talk about on the radio or some of the advertising that I do based upon the type of new clients coming in or some of the concerns of my existing clients. And what's happening in real time right now is that baby boomers, that generation, are aging and dying. And
I am a boomer.
So, yeah, you're at the tail end.
I'm talking
about the very front end of
Sure.
Okay. And as that occurs, there's a giant transition of investments going from first, typically, husband to wife. Men usually die first. Then from surviving spouse, typically the wife, to children. And so I've been doing a tremendous amount of work preparing families for how to deal with that when they get there. And then as well as new clients coming in, I want to say I've had 3 widows in this last month.
Oh, wow.
Coming in. And some of them have substantial assets. And one of the things that it is incumbent in a relationship is that as you get older, is that you really kind of educate each other a little bit on what each of you does in case something happens to the other. Oftentimes, when the wife passes first, the husband, you know, the wife oftentimes handles the day-to-day finances, especially as we get older, and the husband's like, I don't even know where to start on my bills, et cetera, et cetera. And oftentimes, I'll have it where the husband is in charge of the investments and the finances. And a spouse comes in with a portfolio of $1 million or $3 or $4 or $5 million.
Yeah, how did I get here?
And literally says, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. How do I manage this? Mm-hmm. My husband handled all of this. And it's, you know, I know I'm honest. I know what I'm knowing. I know what I'm doing, but it makes me go like, God, what happens when, you know, if they don't get good advice or they don't get concerned? So it is really important that you have open discussions with each other and even your children, as you get older, to make sure that everybody's aware what to do with this wealth or what you've worked so hard for your whole life to achieve, that good decisions are made going forward.
So bottom line, is that something that you help with? Or
absolutely.
I mean, not so much take over, but I guess in some cases you probably would.
It depends. I'll meet with a client and or a new prospective new client, and I'm like, you know, they're, you know, oftentimes they had an advisor from someplace else and the husband had a relationship with them and they worked with them for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here, they're in California. I don't know this person from Adam. I don't know what's going on. Wow. I'd like to be able to talk to somebody face to face. And so, yeah, just a real, it is an increasing dynamic as people are aging. And I just can't advise enough that people get each other on the same page.
All right. Brian, great job.
Thank you so much. Sorry for running a few minutes late today, but in my defense, it was from one of my beloved clients. Rest her heart, bless her heart, 93 years old.
Wow.
Drove to my office for the appointment.
Right.
I wanted to make sure she was okay before I cruised on down here. So, hey, have a beautiful, safe weekend, everybody. Shop local, support small business in your community, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next time here on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
Number to Springberg Wealth Management, 928-855-9421.
Sounds right.
And tell Robin, hey.
I'll say what's up.
Paul
see
says, hey.
Paul says, what's up?
All right,
everybody. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Steve Sundy up next. I hope he's on the line. Pretty sure he is. And I'll be back with more. Yeah, I see the meter moving, Steve. Appreciate you. And I'll be back with more in a moment. We'll talk to Steve when we're in break, and we'll come back and we'll tell you all about the Mojave Roadrunners track and field team out of Bullhead City. Stay with us. Speak Out will return. So I got Steve Sundy on the line, and I had to tell you, I have Neil Young playing right now this whole hour, and I thought, hey, why not Long May You Run, because we're talking about track and field, right?
You bet.
All right, and you're almost to Canada when you talk about where you're originally from, which is Minnesota, so you got a lot of those here in the tri-state area at certain times of the year. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane. And don't have a lot of time, but I can give you almost 10 minutes, Steve, and tell us about this Mojave Roadrunners track and field team and the fundraiser that you have going on next Wednesday, the 24th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bullhead City.
Okay, what we are, we're affiliated with USA Track and Field. They're the governing body for all the track meets that go on in the United States. They're the ones that handle the Olympics that are going to be in L.A. in 2028. Mm-hmm. Ours is called the Junior Olympics. I myself have been fortunate. I've had kids in the last five, one of them my grandson from Minnesota. So we've learned a lot about that. And 3.5 years ago, we decided to form a track club. And what we did, Paul, mm-hmm. which nobody else around does, is we don't charge the kids to be on our team.
Oh, wow.
Everybody makes a team. The only thing they have to do, which I have no control over, is they have to pay a $35 fee to USA Track and Field. Mm-hmm. But then that also puts them on USA Track and Field insurance policy.
Okay.
So it's a great deal. Even though we're in Bullet City, Arizona, because of our closeness to Nevada, mm-hmm. they allowed us to join the Nevada Association, so we didn't have to keep like going down to Phoenix and so forth for track meets.
Nice.
So we're with them. Yeah, and it just made life easier.
Yeah.
Let me
stop you right there. What age groups?
Okay.
What age group are we talking about here?
Okay. USA Track and Field Works is they've got 8 and under, then they have 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, 18.
Perfect. Those are perfect ages, too. It gives them something to do. They're not on the street. Are you coaching these kids and young adults? Are you coaching them full-time all year round, or is it a seasonal thing?
Well, no. That'd be too much. We want kids to be involved in other sports also.
Very good.
I've been around a long time in the game. I've got a lot of friends that coach in college and that, and they love looking at athletes that are multi-sport athletes. So, we encourage them to do the other sports too. Normally, we'll start the first week or two in February, uh-huh. and then we'll start, our meets are up in Las Vegas, usually starting in March. So it works out well for us. All the other sports at the schools are usually just about done. See, we don't let the high school kids compete until they're done with their high school sports. So it works out well for everybody. I was just looking here, Paul.
Yeah.
You know how many different schools I have on our track club?
How many different schools from this area?
Oh, yeah.
I would say probably Fox Creek, Bullhead Elementary, Desert Valley, Mojave, River Valley, and then the schools, the junior high and elementaries in Mojave Valley and Fort Mojave as well. Am I close?
Besides that, we got Mojave High, River Valley.
Uh-huh.
We have Melk because they don't have a track program.
Yeah.
We got Laughlin kids come over here, the Mojave, Valley Junior High, Fox Creek, Diamondback Elementary.
Awesome.
And then we have kids that are homeschooled. This gives them a great opportunity to come out and enjoy the sport. And they love it. Even though track is an individual sport, it's still a team sport.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Especially the relay events. And then, and you have overall scores. Now, how many sprinters, like you have the 100, the 200, the 400, and then you have the relay events, and then you have the distance events, which I never ran, so I couldn't tell you the distances. But how many runners do you have for all that?
Right now, we've got 16 kids going to the regional.
Uh-huh.
And 25 events plus the 4x100 relay. So that's pretty good for a track club and team that's only been in existence for 3 years. Besides myself coaching, I've got 3 other ones that are great coaching. We have a lot of parents that have stepped up. We're a nonprofit, a 501(c).
Right.
So we are, like I said, our kids, the only fee is the USA Track and Field for $35. That's why we rely on some fundraisers, call on businesses. A lot of businesses and that have been very, very generous to us around here, which has allowed us to get uniforms and warm-ups and so forth.
Uh-huh.
We work closely with Mojave High and with the city, and that has allowed us to use the Mojave High School track for our practices.
Steve, let me ask.
Great.
Steve, let me ask you this. And what surface is that? Do they have that multi-surface, or is it?
Oh yeah.
I used to run on that little, not peat gravel, but it was close, and you had to use the pyramid spikes. You remember those?
Oh yeah, yeah, and longer ones.
Right.
And, the track at Mojave High School is great. I also volunteered and coached at the high school the past 3 years also, and every place I go, I check the equipment, and I check the track, and ours at Mojave High School rates right up there with the best of them.
Nice. Okay, let me ask you this. How much money are you looking to raise for 16 different participants? How much does it cost to go to San Diego or these different places? Are you looking at, you know, $50 a weekend, $100 a week? What are we talking about?
What we're doing is we relied on a lot of different things. We have found that it's cheaper for us to look at, depending on how many are going to get like an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So we just found one over in the San Diego area, not too far from the high school, where that we got Friday, mm-hmm. Saturday, have to be out Sunday, and it sleeps 15.
Oh wow.
So, oh yeah, and it's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful views. That way we can keep the kids together,
right,
eat there, and so forth. And it was $2,100, but that's what we're working for. You know, besides doing the events, we want to give the kids a good experience. You know, getting away, see what the rest of the country looks like. And so, last year we went to Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know. Flew in there, and it was a great, great, wonderful time. So this year we're trying to take advantage of most of the things being on the West Coast. That's why when Buffalo Wild Wings says, you want to have a fundraiser there? I says, you bet. So all our kids will be out in force next Wednesday from 4 to 8, and 10% of the proceeds is going to go to our track club. And it doesn't cost the customer anything because they didn't change their prices, so it doesn't affect them. You know, and if people want to give more, that'd be wonderful.
Right.
Plus, they're going to let us do a 50-50 raffle.
Okay. So, real quick, if people need to get a hold of you, they want to make a private donation to you or the club or to one of the kids, how do they reach you, Steve?
The best would be to give me a call so I can walk them through it. My cell number is 701-261-3419, and we can, you know, whatever they need, we can get it figured out. You know, we've got Venmo, PayPal, all that
right,
kind of
right.
stuff.
And is there a website people can go to make donation?
Mojave Roadrunners, we're on the website. We're also on Facebook. If you go on Facebook, you'll see a lot of pictures and so forth, and a lot of them of our meet that we just finished up in Las Vegas. So you can go on there too and message us on Facebook, Mojave Roadrunners.
Perfect. Steve Sundy, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. I know this was, you know, you called me last minute, but it's for the kids in the community. We had to get them some support. So
I appreciate it. It was great. Good talking to you.
You bet.
Like I said, anybody get a hold of us. We have a good club, good kids, and we're doing good things.
And they're a 501c3, folks. So it's 701-261-3419. If you have any questions, call me or call Steve. I'll give you that number, and you can reach Steve Sundy. Again, he's in Bullhead City. All right, I'm going to take it right up to the top of the hour. Thanks again, Steve. Appreciate you.
All right, you bet. Thank
right.
you very much.
There's one guy doing a lot of good for the community. You heard the dollar amounts, so, you know, they're looking for a way to make kids happy, keep kids off the street, all right? We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Our guest, Mike Ganuccio.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.